equal time. Another viewpoint, other considerations. Equal time.
Good afternoon, I'm Carl Ettenayer, today's host for Equal Time Radio, and as usual on Mondays, my theme is energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil. I've got a blog on a similar subject. It's called Relocalizing Vermont. I'm one of the many bloggers you can find at the vtcommons.org website. That's Vermont Commons website, vtcommons.org. My blog is called Relocalizing Vermont. We post audio of my show and Travin's shows here on Equal Time at equaltimeradio.com. I've got a great show coming up for you today. Can herbal medicine be used to prevent cancer and to support treatment? We'll be talking with herbalist Guido Masse. He's teaching a class tonight on herbal research and strategies for cancer support in Montpelier. So he'll be talking about herbs for cancer support, plus other activities of the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism. And then Robert Riversong will be with us the second half of the show. When the economy is tanking and the world seems to have reached peak oil production, what would our world look like if it was sustainable? He's going to be teaching a course coming up soon at the Yestermorrow School in Warren called Thinking Like a Mountain, Sustainability from the Ground Up. First, we'll go through a few calendar items. If you were listening almost 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in on Wednesday, April 1st, talking with Jim Merkel. He's the leader of Cycling for a Sustainable Future for cyclists, cycling 350 miles through Vermont, a little bit into New York State, to draw attention to the number 350, the parts per million of carbon dioxide that we need to get the atmosphere down to in order to maintain a planet like the one the human species evolved on. Well, he came through Montpelier with his group over the weekend. They were at my house yesterday afternoon. Today they're cycling on to Hardwick. And boy, I'm not going to give you all the places they're going to be in the next week because it's hard to hit that moving target. I'll give you the places, but not the details. But go to equaltimeradio.com, find the interview on April 1st that I did with him on cycling for a sustainable future. You'll find a link there to where to find their exact schedule. But here are some of the places they're going to be. If you're near these places and are interested, then follow equaltimeradio.com's link. Hardwick tonight, then Craftsbury Common, then Colchester, Thursday Burlington, Friday Burlington, Friday Charlotte as well, and back in Burlington, Sunday South Lincoln, and next Monday in Middlebury. Cycling for a Sustainable Future, see the link at equaltimeradio.com. By the way, the other part of the show that day was on Lorac, Vermont herb, a mystery plant, wonder plant that was going to be re-legalized. That part of the show was an April Fool's Day joke, as it says clearly on the website. Got a number of comments afterwards from people who heard it and wanted seed sources for the wonder plant and so on. Unfortunately, the plant does not exist. But plants we'll be talking about with Guido Masse today. All of those exist. Coming up this Thursday, Bernie Sanders, our junior senator, will be holding a town meeting on the economic crisis at 7 p.m. at the Montpelier High School Auditorium. That's this Thursday. Questions are, what caused the Wall Street disaster? What impact is it having on our state and our country? And what's the best course of action to revive the economy? And joining him will be William Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri in Kansas City. For more information, you can call Bernie Sanders' office. That's 800-339-9834. 800-339-9834. Also that night, in Barrie is a film called Garbage. The Revolution Starts at Home. It's a feature documentary about how the family household has become one of the most ferocious environmental predators of our time. And you know, from my perspective, it's also looking at a source of resources for us to be using in the future, what gets thrown out right now. So this is going to be a film. It's being shown during the day for school kids, and then in the evening for anybody who wants to come. It's free of charge. They want you to RSVP. It's in the Barrie Opera House, 7 p.m. this Thursday. And you can go to the Central Vermont Solid Waste Management District website to find the link to the RSVP. That's CVS.com. WMD.org, Central Vermont Solid Waste Management District.org. And on the left side of the page, you find the link for the RSVP. Coming up on Saturday, a couple things going on in Montpelier. There's an eco fair at National Life. The Solid Waste Management District is also behind part of that. They'll be recycling old televisions. If you want to get rid of your old televisions, they have nasty stuff in them. Not the sort of thing you want to be taking to the landfill. Take them there. The Central Vermont Solid Waste Management District will be accepting them for free, which is unusual. Usually you have to pay for old electronic equipment to get it properly taken care of. National Life will have rain collection barrels and raised garden bed kits assembled by local labor for sale. Zero Waste Incorporated will be selling green cones. These digest all household food scraps, including meat, fish, bones, and dairy products. And finally, there's a battery-powered lawnmower being sold at what they say is a heavily discounted price. Also, Hunger Mountain Co-op is having, well, they're calling it their grand opening, but they've been open for years. This must be the grand reopening after the extensive renovations they've gone through in the past year, maybe year plus. There's going to be a truckload sale this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Hunger Mountain Co-op. And there'll be samples, kids' gardening table, meet some of our best vendors and sample their products. So that's almost all day, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. this Saturday. And going to jump ahead longer than I usually do. That's Monday, May 11th. It's the Summit on the Future of Vermont. One of my colleagues, I forget who and when, but one of my colleagues is going to be talking with somebody from the Vermont Council on Rural Development who put together this report on the future of Vermont, released it April 9th in the State House. And their summit responding to it is going to be Monday, May 11th. The reason I'm bringing it up now is because a registration deadline is a week from today. It's April 20th. And you can register for this summit, which costs $40. It's all day. It includes lunch. It's at the Dudley Davis Center at UVM. You can register for it at the Vermont Center for Rural Development, Vermont Council on Rural Development's website. That's vtrural.org, vtrural.org. As always, your phone calls are welcome on Equal Time Radio. The number is 244-1777, or toll-free if you're outside the Waterbury area, 877-291-8255. Now we're going to go on to a conversation with actually a movie star, Guido Masse, at the Center for Integrative Herbalism in Montpelier, is featured as one of the many herbalists in a film called Newman, which was previewed at the Green Mountain Film Festival a few weeks ago in Montpelier. Very interesting film. They had a fair amount of work to do on it before it was ready to be released, so I'm not sure when everybody else will have a chance to see it, but it was fun to see the first public showing of it. The context here that I invited Guido onto the show is, well, tomorrow in Massachusetts, there's going to be a conference on public health and medicine at the end of the oil age, challenges and opportunities. The idea behind this conference is that our medical system right now, like the rest of our economy, it relies on cheap oil. And one of the conference speakers, medical doctor Dan Bednarz from Pittsburgh, has described the medical system's reliance on cheap oil like this. He says, directly, petrochemicals are used to manufacture analgesics, antihistamines, antibiotics, antibacterials, rectal suppositories, cough syrups, lubricants, creams, ointments, salves, and mini gels. Processed plastics made with oil are used in heart valves and other medical equipment. Petrochemicals are used in radiological dyes and films, intravenous tubing, syringes, and oxygen masks. In all but rare instances, fossil fuels heat and cool buildings and supply electricity. And he goes on. I won't continue. As Central Vermont herbalist Guido Masse tells us about his work, here's something to think about. How dependent is your health care or that of your loved ones on a functioning global economy in general, and cheap oil in particular? And what's your backup plan? Tonight, Masse is teaching a class which could be part of that backup plan. It's called Herbal Research and Strategies for Cancer Support. It's 6 to 8 p.m. at the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism. Guido, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carl. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't you begin by telling us about the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism and how you came to be associated with it?
Okay. We're in our second year of existence as an organization. we were able to incorporate as a 501c3 nonprofit, which was kind of the culmination of the work that myself and my colleagues, Larkin Bunce, Betsy Bancroft, and Ann Jameson, put together over the year, let's say 2006, 2007. The Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism had grown out of a couple of different threads. One was the desire to provide accessible, or at best, low-cost or free, herbal education and medicinal herbs to folks in central Vermont who needed them. This grew out of the idea that a lot of times herbal medicines are very expensive, and certainly getting to talk to someone about what herbs are best out of the milieu of things available at the health food store can be an expensive proposition as well. So we started a free clinic back in 2001, which was one of the major drives to incorporate the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism into a nonprofit. The other arm was the more educational, hands-on approach. I found over the years of working as an herbalist in Montpelier that people are really interested in herbal medicine as much as they are in, say, growing their own food or canning their own vegetables and maintaining a high-quality food supply that they can have control over, let's say. And this, I think, goes for medicine as well. More and more people want to learn how to use plants for prevention and, honestly, treatment occasionally of, minor complaints and sometimes more serious complaints. So I did a lot of educational work over, the period from 2000 to the present, and that has fed the second arm of the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism. So, for example, the class that I'm teaching this evening is part of our community class series, where folks from the community can join us for informal discussions on a variety of topics. And then we also have a very targeted and rigorous 3-year clinical herbalist training program for those who want to commit a larger period of time and potentially a larger chunk of their lives to learning how to help others with medicinal plants.
And way to contact the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism?
Yep, well, you can call our phone number, which is 224-7100, that's area code 802. Or you can learn a lot more about what our current class listings are, as well as the 3-year clinical program, and how to get a spot at our free clinic, our community clinic, by looking at vtherbcenter.org.
And I notice that tonight's class, in Herbal Research and Strategies for Cancer Support, taught 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, yep, is $10 for members and $12 for non-members. What else does one get as a member of the center besides a discount on classes like this?
Yep, as you said, you get preferred pricing for our community classes, but you also get what we basically call almost a small herbal medicine share. There are different levels of membership that you can choose to join at, and depending on what you choose, the individual, the family, the community partner membership, you will receive different samplings of herbal medicine, for example, echinacea or arnica oil or some medicinal healing salves, other liquid herbal extracts that are useful for health and well-being of, family and individuals. Beyond that, you can also, as a member, elect our board of directors and or choose to run for our board of directors and thereby sort of be able to join in sculpting or modeling the voice that our organization has in terms of medicinal plants in the Central Vermont community.
So the herbal medicine share, is that like community-supported agriculture, a CSA for herbal medicine?
If you consider that our membership fees are much, let's say, smaller in the $30 to $100 range than the fee you typically see for a produce CSA, and you adjust your expectations as to what that share would include accordingly, then it is similar, but it's much more modest and limited, I would say. The other thing that we offer is, for members, a series of 3 consultations with our professional herbalists, myself, Larkin, and Betsy, that you can choose to use yourself or transfer to a friend or family member. And that, coupled with the fact that all the herbs we offer are on a sliding scale that starts at $0, could be seen as a way to, as a member of VCIH, get your foot in the door with a really sort of very well-grounded and well-researched approach to incorporating herbs into your life in a really good way.
Well, research is the second word of the title of your talk tonight, Herbal Research and Strategies for Cancer Support. So why don't you give us a preview?
Well, there's been plants have been used for thousands of years for wellness and also for conditions such as cancer, although our understanding of cancer has obviously evolved with time, and that's a good thing. What I wanted to present tonight was not only sort of the traditional herbalist's perspective of vital energies and dissipation of heat and improvement of physiological function from a traditional perspective, but I also wanted to look at what the last really 8 to 10 years of biomedical research has told us about what plants can do for individuals who are looking to prevent cancer or who are looking to use herbs as part of a cancer support protocol. What's exciting about the herbal research around cancer therapy is that while in the 90s we were really looking at a lot of petri dishes and animal models, that has now evolved as that research has been piling up to look at the use of certain botanical agents like milk thistle or turmeric in real live human beings who have a variety of different types of tumors ranging from breast cancer to pancreatic and lung cancer, some of the most deadly and scary types. And I want to try and balance the traditional understanding with some of this modern research for two reasons. I mean, one is biochemistry and biochemical research fascinates me, and it's always exciting to see from a scientific perspective, which is just another language, how it is that herbs work in the human body. But the second is to help dispel some of the, I think, concerns that still surround the use of herbal medicine with cancer. The ones I hear most often is that taking antioxidants with chemotherapy, for example, kind of defeats the point of the chemotherapeutic agent, which is designed to kill a cancer cell, and that herbal antioxidants actually protect the cancer cells. Over the last 5 years, we've really seen that that's not true with a variety of agents, and that they actually make the conventional treatment more effective. And so bottom line, Carl, that's what ends up being my point, is that if you already are working with a disease like cancer, incorporating herbs is safe and actually often makes the conventional treatment more effective, or it makes your body stronger so that you can tolerate the somewhat toxic modern chemical treatment more completely.
How widespread is this knowledge of the effects of herbal complements to conventional medical treatment for cancer within the medical community?
I would say that a lot of physicians are aware that an increasingly large percentage of the American population is turning to medicinal herbs for support. And many oncologists that I speak with are pretty open-minded, I would say, about certain key herbs like astragalus that have a long track record of use in China, and now this modern research from Europe and the United States corroborating their use. There still is occasionally this belief that antioxidants will harm the cancer patient who is taking chemotherapy by decreasing the effect of chemo, but I think that is decreasing in the conventional medical world. Again, you know, you gotta let a little. I'm looking at these herbal studies kind of avidly every morning and trying to get my hands on everything I can find. Most oncologists are probably looking at the research that pertains to cancer growth and also the conventional medicine. So really, when a study about turmeric and how it actually helps sensitize breast cancer cells in human beings to conventional chemotherapy, like Taxol, that just came out 2 years ago, you know, and it hasn't really been very widespread in terms of splashing across the conventional media. So I give people the benefit of the doubt for a little while, and part of my job as an herbalist is to be an educator, not only of my clients, but of anyone who is interested in seeing what the role of plants can be in wellness and disease prevention.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Guido Masse from Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism. He's teaching a class tonight in Montpelier at the center, 6 to 8 p.m., on herbal research and strategies for cancer support. If you'd like to call and ask him a question, 244-1777 or toll-free, 877-291-8255. Now, just as a layperson trying to make sense of the various components of the medical community, the sense I get is that treatments of any kind are expensive to get approved by the FDA, and therefore research is done on those types of treatments where corporations can get patents for the medicine, and therefore herbal medicine is largely neglected. And yet you talk about a lot of research that's gone on in the last 8 to 10 years. How did that happen?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a really good point. Part of the, as you rightly point out, thing about herbal medicine is that all you can really do is patent some kind of proprietary extract that you have done a lot of sort of refining of the herbal constituents out of the whole plant. Not necessarily a fan of those types of preparations. Sometimes they sort of miss the benefit of having a whole plant preparation. But really, Carl, what I'm seeing is that more and more of the trials that are looking at the effects of herbs in cancer are being done by government organizations and large hospitals that have a lot of government funding.
Hmm.
And so I think, you know, the undeniable evidence is beginning to pile up, especially with things like turmeric and milk thistle, so that, you know, for example, we're looking at a trial that's began in October 2006. It isn't quite done yet, but they're looking at curcumin for colon cancer in smokers, and it's funded entirely by the National Cancer Institute.
Hmm.
So that, coupled with the fact that, you know, a lot of research is coming out of government organizations like the State of Israel, for example, I think are seeing federal funding or government funding looking at the benefits of herbs, because these public health policymakers are, I guess they're beginning to see the writing on the wall, and it's inevitable. Herbal medicine is really helpful, and we can't let some kind of corporate profit motive stand in the way of the research. So hopefully this trend will continue, where an organization like a government or a federal agency or a federally funded hospital can look at agents that won't end up making people a lot of money. But the pitfall will also, I think, end up being that we're going to start looking at more and more standardized preparations of medicinal herbs that you have to go to an oncology center to get, if you know what I mean. And I would be disappointed to see that, because what I like about herbal medicine is that a lot of people, I mean, turmeric is a bit difficult, right? But you can grow it here if you have a greenhouse and you can heat it four seasons. Milk thistle is a weed that's incredibly easy to grow, and the preparations that can be made by just simply grinding the seeds and putting them in your oatmeal, in my opinion, are as effective, based on just the flavonoid content of the crude seeds, as some kind of specialized milk thistle extract that has been patented and someone is making a lot of money on.
Hmm. Now, I introduced this segment of the show today, Guido, by talking about the reliance of the medical system on cheap oil and raising a flag that I'm not sure how long we'll be able to have its benefits.
That's right.
And so what can you say about the role of herbal medicine in you've been talking about it as a complement to therapies like chemotherapy. What can you say about the role of herbal medicine as a standalone, both in preventing cancer and in working with cancer, treating cancer once a person already has it?
Well, I'm of the opinion, and that's why we call it the Vermont Center for Integrative Herbalism, that when dealing with a disease process, especially a disease process like cancer, an integrative approach that combines the best of modern knowledge with what we know from herbal tradition is probably the way to go. Now, that said, I've worked with a few folks, they're definitely the exception rather than the rule, who would rather not undergo conventional treatment for cancer, and that's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's the advanced nature of the cancer, other times it's for personal reasons. But your point about the availability of synthetically derived drugs, which certainly has been dogging us since World War II, when we first figured out how to make penicillin from oil really cheaply, and that stuff took off. If there is a exorbitant spike in oil prices, which I think is probably inevitable in the next few years, or if we completely lose our ability to use oil because it runs out, modern medicine is going to have to try to figure out different sourcing. That will make things probably even more expensive. And so I think there can be a role for plants in standalone therapeutic agents for cancer. But to be really honest, Carl, I think that the plants really shine when they're incorporated as part of a whole dietary program. And most of the time when I work with folks, you know, I'm not telling them to go buy broccoli sprout extract. I'm talking about eating broccoli and growing broccoli and getting it as fresh and live and potent as you can from a local food source. So honestly, the collapse of the oil industry might give us some benefits in regards to cancer. You know, one, we won't necessarily have as many synthetic derivatives like bisphenol A, plasticizers, and other nasty chemicals that actually act as cancer promoters in our lives everywhere. And two, inevitably, we're going to start falling back on a more local economy because of cost of transport and centralized production. And when that happens, I find people eat more whole and healthy food, which is the cornerstone of my cancer therapy and cancer prevention protocol. Herbs can work really well, but they work best when the cancer is not extremely advanced and hasn't metastasized and taken over large sections of organs of the human body. So with the collapse of the oil economy, yes, we can do some direct treatment of cancer. We will eliminate a lot of potential toxicities that are dogging the human race. And beyond that, hopefully it will encourage people to think about prevention through nutrition and through the incorporation of some of these key herbs like parsley and kale and medicinal mushrooms and milk thistle seeds into their diet on a regular basis.
Yeah, I would think that the sort of outdoor life that I expect will become more common as people become more active when oil is doing fewer services for us would have great health effects in terms of heart disease, too. I don't know what the correlation is between, say, cancer and amount of physical activity.
Well, there's definitely a lot of correlation between physical activity and the reduction of inflammation throughout the body, and especially in the cardiovascular system. You talk about heart health and blood vessel health, exercise and moderate exercise, you know, gardening and walking around in the sun and taking a stroll in the woods every day, really does wonders in terms of preventing the inflammation in the arteries that leads to heart disease and stroke, and also just gentle loss of brain function over time as our vessels become more clogged and less blood flows to the brain. And the connection I'm trying to make is between inflammatory processes that come from being sedentary and come from not having enough fruits and vegetables in your diet, with the generation of cancer long term. There's this idea that chronic inflammatory processes cause the body to change the way the cells that are getting damaged by the inflammation behave, and that this might be one of the triggers to cells mutating or altering their behavior and becoming something different, like a cancer cell.
A final question for you, Guido. You were talking about broccoli as a medicine to prevent cancer. It's also obviously a food that we eat for its taste and general nutrition. Mm-hmm. How much of a line do you see between food and medicine, or how much overlap is there?
That's a great question. I think there's a ton of overlap. I mean, this goes all the way back to Hippocrates, right? Who said, let your food be your medicine and your medicine your food. At DCIH, we are big believers that herbs really are, they're part of diet, right? And they're part of a cuisine. And as Michael Pollan says, I think so aptly, Americans lack a cuisine and a context in which to put their cooking. And so we end up having a very poor and bland and somewhat white diet. This is an unhealthy way to eat. And when you consider the addition of broccoli or something green to your diet as something that enhances its flavor, you also should look at it as something that enhances your health. And not only if you're growing it yourself, not only your health, but the health of your environment and your community. And that's the other thing that we really believe in as herbalists, is that not only is there not really a separation between food and medicine, but by consequence, there's not really a separation between individual and environment. So we really strive to put people into a context where medicinal herbs become part of their lives by growing them in your garden and incorporating them into stews and soups on a habitual basis. You know, one of our classic underlying treatments for cancer is this immune soup that contains, you know, astragalus roots and medicinal mushrooms gathered from the Vermont woods like chaga and reishi, which is something you just simmer away as you would a soup stock, and you keep in the freezer and you add to, as a base to all of the soups you make. So is this medicine or is this food? I mean, it's a little bit of both. Mm. And that's ultimately the way we like to leave it.
Guido Masse, tonight's course is Herbal Research and Strategies for Cancer Support. It says here that pre-registration is required. Is there still time to register for it?
I don't think so. But I know that the class is going on because we have enough folks pre-registered already.
Okay.
So if there are sort of last-minute people who would like to come up to our classroom, it's at 250 Main Street in Montpelier, which is there at the top of the Main Street Hill. We're on the third floor.
Suite 302, and the telephone number is 224-7100. You can find them on the web with all that contact information at vtherbcenter.org. Guido Masse, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye. And I'm Carl Ettner. You're listening to Equal Time here on WDEV. Coming up next, we'll be talking with Robert Riversong. He is a teacher at the Warren School, Yestermorrow. He teaches sustainable building there. And later on this month, he'll be teaching Thinking Like a Mountain, Sustainability from the Ground Up. We'll talk to him about what a sustainable society would look like. I'll be back right after this.